So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Go with me to the book of Jonah. I want to talk to you today about the beauty of a brand new day. The beauty of a brand new day. Why don't you just look at somebody and say, today's a brand new day. Today's not yesterday. It's a brand new day. It doesn't have to be a repeat of yesterday. Today is a brand new day. And in the book of Jonah, chapter 1, if you're looking for that, it's page 937, if you have a Bible like mine. You know, as much as I have read the Bible, I still sometimes have to look for those small Old Testament prophets, because I can't remember if Amos comes before Jonah or afterwards. But just in case you're checking, it comes before. And matter of fact, then you got one chapter of Obadiah. Obadiah. I know a guy who his mother named him Obadiah. He learned how to fight. Good. Amen. In the book of Jonah, if you're there, say amen. You don't plan on finding it, say, go ahead. There you go. The word of the Lord. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Now, I want you to underline that right there, man. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, man, if you could just get a word from the Lord, right? I mean, don't you just wish that God would just call you on the phone, leave you a voicemail, send you an email that says, God befriend you, all right, whatever. He said, so Jonah got a word, and here's what it said: arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare. Can I tell you that anytime you run from the presence of God, there's a fare to be paid? And anytime you run from the presence of God, you got to go down. You're going down. You're not going up. You got to go down to find somewhere going away from the presence of God, and you will pay a fare. And he went down into it and to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. And then in verse 17, which is the end of it, the Bible says, and now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Father, I pray that you would bless your word today. Your word is already anointed. But God, your messenger is flawed. Your messenger is weak. Your messenger needs your help. Need your touch. Touch me this day that I may speak a word in due season to him that is weary, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. The book of Jonah started out with some very plain scripture. It starts out with the words, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. I mean, that's pretty plain. And man, if we could ever get a word from the Lord, we'll be doing good, right? And in the next few words, though, the next few words would have been, and Jonah did exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. Then we might not know about this man named Jonah. He wouldn't be as popular or as a lesson if he just did what the Lord commanded him to do. But now, you see, that's not how it happened. The Lord, our God, felt like that he should throw it into his number one bestseller so that we could learn something from this guy's experience. We recognize that he went to on the ship. The storm came. The people on the ship was going crazy trying to get through this storm. They begin to say, why has this happened to us? How many understands that sometimes the things happen to you because who you've allowed on your ship? Some things happen to you because who you let get in your personal space. who you got hooked up with and who you got tied up with and who you have got some unholy ties with. And that's why you are in some situations that you're in. So, but we understand that they begin to cast lots. They found out it was Jonah. They said, what is your issue? He said, I'm running from the presence of God. They said, what could we do? And they said, Jonah said, throw me overboard. And they said, no, we're just going to work harder. That's what they said. The Bible said they rowed harder trying to get to shore. Can I tell you, when there's a Jonah in your life, you can work all you want to, but unless God changes the Jonah, you're going to have issues in your life. I feel the Holy Ghost messing with me. And then we enter into chapter 2 of the book of Jonah, and we're up to the place where I really want to start making a couple of points, because as we enter into chapter 2, we see that Jonah's attitude is really starting to change. Because verse 1 of Jonah chapter 2 says this, then Jonah prayed. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the stomach of the fish. You see, Jonah prayed. When you begin to pray, your attitude begins to change. When you begin to pray, your attitude begins to change. Jonah had been running from God, but in verse 1, or three words, we see that then Jonah prayed in chapter 2. Now, here's the point number one. Then Jonah prayed, because if you get into a situation, if you need your circumstances to change, if you need you to change, you've got to pray. And if you will pray, God said, I would hear you, and I would answer you, and I would show you great and mighty things that you knew not of, Jeremiah 3:33. So then Jonah hadn't really been doing a lot of praying as of late. How many understands that when things go haywire, all of a sudden your prayer life gets better? You know, you're just rocking along, everything's going good, I don't really need to intercede, I don't really need to pray, but then stuff happens, and then all of a sudden, you become the great prayer warrior. Because there's a little bit different about today, because Jonah had literally been swallowed up by a situation. My God, somebody hear me. See, you begin to pray when you get swallowed up by a situation. When the situation circumferences you and incapacitates you to the point that you can't go to the left, you can't go to the right, you can't go up, you can't go down, you stuck in the situation. You're there. I want you to think about being in the belly of the fish. I don't understand how he survived and all of that. I don't understand a lot of things, but I'm not going to wait till I understand everything to believe. I don't understand why we call driveways driveways. We park on driveways we park on driveways and we ride on parkways. But I'm not going to sit at home. I'm going to drive on them. Come on, somebody. But Jonah was literally swallowed up, and the situation had totally consumed him, and Jonah didn't see any way out. And God has really a unique way of putting us somewhere where the only thing that we can do is call on him. You don't know the way out. You don't know how to get out. You don't know how to turn to the left. You don't know what to do. What am I to do? And when you don't know what to do, all you got to do and all you can do is call on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then all of a sudden, or not all of a sudden, but then your attitude and you really begin to change. You see, he knows what areas need to be polished, and he'll do that. And the way that he'll do it many times is through situations and circumstances. Did you know that the sole reason for all of those situations, the sole reason for all of those circumstances, is to build you into the person with total dependence on him? He wants you to be completely dependent on him. Because then Jonah prayed. When he couldn't do anything else, he prayed. And sometimes God's got to get you still. God's got to get you consumed in a situation before you will pray. Can you say amen? Then Jonah prayed. And if you read in verse 10, and the Bible says, and the Lord spoke. Jonah prayed, and the Lord spoke. Man, what a clear indication. That's what kind of prayer life I want. That I pray and God speaks back to me. I talk to God and God talks back. I don't want it to be a one-way conversation. But usually it is with God, because God does all the talking and we don't do any of the listening. Jonah prayed and the Lord spoke. And I like reading that Jonah prayed and the Lord spoke. And I'm glad that Jonah ain't the only one that can occupy this position. You can occupy the position that you pray and God speaks. Now listen, I will be the first to tell you that God doesn't speak to me as much as he does some people, because don't point at nobody, but you ever talk to anybody and they're always talking about, well, God said this, God said that, God said this, God said that, and God spoke this. And they're having complete conversations with God. I get bits and pieces. Come on, somebody. God might not speak to me like he does some folks, but he don't lie to me like he does some folks either. That's all I'm going to say about that. Jonah ain't the only one that can occupy this position. Church, aren't you glad to know a Savior that don't have clogged up ears, that he understands you when you pray, that he doesn't have too much wax in his ears, but he hears you when you pray. You see, church, I don't know about you, but I'm happy that I can say Ronnie, and that Ronnie prayed and the Lord spoke. I like it that brother so-and-so, that gypsy, prayed and the Lord spoke. I'm glad to say that sister so-and-so prayed and the Lord spoke. Church, aren't you glad that we serve a God that can hear your prayers? He can hear your cries. He is not dead in a tomb somewhere. He is alive and he's well, and he hears you when you pray. He hears you when you cry. He knows what's going on in your life. Aren't you glad that we don't serve a deaf God? Aren't you glad that we don't serve a God that ignores us when we pray? 1 Peter 3 and 12 says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. You feel trapped. You feel secluded. You feel hopeless. You want to know how to get God's attention in your situation. Then don't forget the basics. Get rid of the hindrances. Get rid of the distractions and hit your knees and bury your face in a couch or a pillow or an altar and pray, and God will hear your prayer. If you will pray, God will speak. See, I don't want you to forget what it said in the last verse of chapter 1. It said that Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Point number 2 is this. Jonah had to realize that there is such a thing as a brand new day. There is such a thing as a brand new day. Man, I don't know who I'm talking to. But there is such a thing as a brand new day. Pastor, you don't know what I've been going through. There is a brand new day for you. Pastor, you don't know where I've been. There is a brand new day for you. I mean, old Jonah spent 3 days at Well University and got his degree. Come on, somebody. He went into Well University and he had to cram for 3 days in order to pray, in order to get God's attention. Jonah had to realize, I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody in this building, you got to realize that there is a brand new day. There is a beauty of a brand new day. I want you to understand that most of us would have started thinking about how horrible life was, how far we had fallen apart, and we'd get it in our heads that this is the way it's going to be. That's what the devil wants you to believe, that yesterday is going to be a repeat of today, that your yesterday hindrance, that your yesterday problems, that your yesterday situations is going to happen today, and this is your lot in life. The devil is a liar. There is a brand new day. I know it might not happen today. It might not happen tomorrow, but I've come by to tell you that there is a brand new day. Heartache will not stay at your house. Grieving will not stay at your house. There is a brand new day, but you've got to realize that I'm not going to live in a dilapidated state, but I know that there is a brand new day. And it's not just for the preacher. It's not just for those that I know that are better than me. No, it is for me, because I'm going to pray and God is going to answer. We live in an atmosphere. atmosphere of yesterday and the atmosphere is bound us to the our atmosphere is bound us to last until tomorrow. What do you mean? We live in the atmosphere of yesterday. And that atmosphere is bound to last until tomorrow. Oh, help me now. That's the way we think most of the time. Here's where I'm at. Here's where I'm going to be. The devil's a liar. We think that today is going to feel like yesterday, that tomorrow is going to feel like today. We live in the trials of yesterday. We know that surely the trials of tomorrow will be as bad as today. Don't raise your hands, but how many times have you go, well, I wonder what else could go wrong. Trust me, plenty. Well, I wonder how long is this going to last. It could last a long time unless you begin to understand that there is the beauty of a brand new day. You see, there has to be a point when we decide that a brand new day is possible. My God, look at your day. Look at your neighbor and tell him it's possible to have a brand new day. You don't have to stay addicted. You don't have to stay bound. You don't have to stay sad. You don't have to stay depressed. You don't have to stay filled with anxiety. You don't have to stay with where you can't function in life because of what has happened to you. There is a brand new day. And maybe for somebody, I believe that today is that new day for somebody. But I can't believe it for you. Can't nobody lay hands on you and make it happen. You've got to believe it for yourself. There is a brand new day for your marriage. There's a brand new day for your parenting. There's a brand new day for your ministry. There's a brand new day for your calling. There's a brand new day for your anointing. You just got to walk in the brand new day. But walking in it starts with believing. I got to tell somebody, you need to tell yourself, I know y'all don't like talking to yourself like that, but I got to talk to myself sometimes. Sometimes myself, my flesh starts talking too much, and I got to tell flesh and myself, there's a brand new day. There's a brand new day. I see it all the time. People living in a world where the next day never gets any better than the last day, but they never do really change. All right, I'm going to make somebody mad right here. Bump your neighbor. Say, just go ahead and get ready. Because I'm convinced that the reason some people never change is because they haven't yet realized that brand new days exist for them. Oh, they exist for Papa. They exist for Gypsy. They exist for Brother Kelly. They exist for Brian. They exist for Melody. They exist for who, whatever. You put your name in. You put somebody else's name in. That's what we believe. They exist for somebody else. And here's what we say. Well, we haven't lived clean enough. We haven't prayed enough. We haven't fasted enough. And all of that might be true. But I've come by to tell you that you begin to say, if God did it for Rodney, God will do it for me. If God did it for Pastor Ronnie, God will do it for me. I believe that there is a brand new day. You don't have to live in that dilapidated state for the rest of your life. There's got to be a point when we realize that brand new day is possible. He was in the deep of the sea with seaweed wrapped around his head. You ever been through stuff and then you call one of your mentors and go, surely you've been through this, and they go, man, I ain't ever been through that again. You go to the doctor, and the doctor said, I ain't ever seen that in all of my life. And what happens? You get nervous. Come on, be Jonah for a minute. Who have you ever heard of anybody but Jonah and Pinocchio? Yeah. Who have been swallowed up but still live? I've never been swallowed up by a fish, but I've been swallowed up by a situation. I've been swallowed up by circumstances. I've been swallowed up by circumstances. I've been swallowed up by the reactions of people. I've been swallowed up with stuff that I didn't have nothing to do with. Come on. But I'm just a victim of my circumstances. Somebody hear what I'm saying. I've just been swallowed up. But I come by to tell you that if you've been swallowed up and you ain't ever seen it before, I'm telling you that a God that I serve, you might never seen it before. But there's nothing that God hasn't seen before. And there's nothing that God doesn't know how to get you out of if you will just pray. Jonah, seaweed wrapped around his head. He started out with a new weave. Come on, somebody. He was deep in the sea. Seaweed wrapped around his head. He felt like everything had been crashing down. But after 3 days of distress, how many of us, you know, we always go, I don't deserve this. How many of us have ever looked at our situation and go, I deserve this? I have. I'm just being honest. I have. God, I deserve this. I don't want it, but I deserve it. I've asked for it. I didn't take care of it, so therefore, I've asked for it. Come on, somebody. 3 days. 3 days he, with his head hung down. After 3 days of sickening conditions and almost unbearable circumstances, Jonah started to remember the God that he served. Amen. My God. The God that you serve. Crystal related, Crystal, our children's pastor's wife, related a story to me yesterday that said she had nightmares all day or all night on this particular situation a little while ago. Said she couldn't sleep all night. Every time she said, I would wake up yelling at God. Oh, y'all ain't know what I'm talking about. Because y'all too Christianese for that, you know. Now, I woke up arguing with God. I woke up yelling at God. She said, but the last time I woke up praising God. And when I woke up praising God, she said it wasn't an hour later that a girlfriend of hers sent her a message of what the Lord had said to her in the midnight hour. Come on, somebody. If you would stop grumbling and start praising. If you would stop just hanging your head down low and dabbing your lips where you could suck babies off the floor without ever bending over, if you could get your long face into a smiley face and begin to say, I don't know when and I don't know where, but I know that there's a new day that is for me. It might not look like I wanted to look. It might not feel like I wanted to feel, but I know one thing, that I'm tired of being where I am and I'm not going to stay where I am, so I'm going to praise God on credit. I'm going to give God praise now and he can do it a little later, because I know in whom the God that I serve. Hey! Yes, he messed up. Yes, his life was in shambles right now. But Brother Jonah began to remember what a wonderful, forgiving, graceful God that he served. Woo! Whew. When Jonah started thinking on these things, right there in the belly of hell, Jonah let out his voice. And he cried out to God like he never cried out before. Why was this happening? The circumstances were still the same. Well, when I get delivered, I'm going to praise him. When I come out, I'm going to praise him. Well, when God fixes this, I'm going to shout. Why don't you shout and praise him like it's already done? Because before it ever happens in the physical, it's got to happen in the spirit. So go ahead and praise him. Pastor, why do you praise like you praise? Not because my life is perfect, but my God is perfect. And I worship him because I know that his credit is good with me. Jonah started realizing that it don't have to stay this way. Listen, for 3 days, 3 nights, things had been the same. It wasn't fun. It wasn't exciting. It was gross. It was filthy. It was not good. But he didn't have to stay that way. I know that I've run from God, but I don't have to keep running. I know that I rejected God, but I don't have to keep rejecting him. I know that I've got out of the pit of believing that things would never change. Don't be happy taking up residence in the whale's belly. And then you got some well-meaning Christians go, well, that's just the way things are. You know, it's not always mountaintop experiences, and you're exactly right. But if you've been in the belly for 20 years, there's something wrong. You got to change your perspective. If you've been in the belly for a year, there's something wrong. Got to change your perspective. Come on, somebody. I've come by to tell somebody today that there is such a thing as a brand new day. I need somebody to catch this morning, that there's a brand new day. That brand new days do exist. Don't get up in the morning expecting to be discouraged. Come on. Don't get up in the morning expecting to be sick. Don't get up in the morning expecting to be in a pit. I get up in the morning singing the praises of God. He said, my mercies are new every day, and I believe that. Do like the psalmist did. Get up in the morning and say, this is the day the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice in it. It's not God's will that we stay caught in discouragements, that we stay messed up in unrighteousness. It's not God's will that we stay the same, the bad attitudes that we've always had. It's not God's will that you get stuck in a rut and we can't get out. Well, I'm just in a rut. Listen, a rut is a grave with the ends knocked out. I'm not staying there. It's the will of God that we get in our heads that there is a brand new day. Today can be different than yesterday. Tomorrow can be different than today. And if I don't stay, if I have to stay like it has been, it doesn't have to stay that way. Point number three is simply this. Jonah had to respond to the new day. He had to respond to the new day. Lord, I want you to fix it, but don't ask anything of me. It ain't going to happen. And you say you don't have faith. That's some supernatural faith if you think that God's going to change it and you ain't got to do anything. God said, if you will act, if you will respond, I will act. He started doing what he thought should be done instead of just being happy doing what he did yesterday. Did you catch that? He started doing what he thought should be done instead of just being happy doing what he did yesterday. And that's the problem with some of us. Well, I don't understand. I'm doing the same thing. I'm doing the same thing. And you're getting the same results. Whenever God is speaking to you, you better remember what God has said. Because, I don't know if I have this. I hope I do. Did I put it up there? What's my next one? Nope, that ain't it. Go back. There's going to be a day when God ain't going to, I know it ain't correct English, just let me preach. There's going to be a day when God ain't going to be saying a word, and you better remember what he already said. Because when the student is taking a test, the teacher is usually silent. But now a good teacher, hell God, hear me somebody. A good teacher is not going to test you on something they have not covered. Am I preaching, baby? My seventh grade teacher over here, she's about to have a Holy Ghost fit over here. A good teacher ain't going to test you on something they haven't covered. The problem was, is you was too busy having your head hung down. You was too busy not praying when God was talking. The problem was, you was too busy criticizing and complaining and looking at other things instead of looking at God, the author and the finisher of your faith. But if you ain't heard what God has said lately, go back and begin to think, what was the last thing God said to me? Because whatever God said to me last is what's going to sustain me to get me through what I'm going through today. And if I can get through today, if I will call on him, he's going to answer me. If God don't feel like it's time for you to hear anything, then understand this. That's his way of telling you, just keep doing what I've already told you to do. Did you hear that? What I've already told you to do. But Jonah was lucky enough to get a reminder from the mouth of God. And when Jonah got the word from God, Jonah started running as fast as he could because he was now ready to do what God wanted him to do. When he prayed, The Bible said that the fish basically vomited him up on shore. And so I got a vivid imagination. I see Jonah just being up on stage. Whoop. Whoo. Wiping fish guts out of his eyes. Blowing his. What you want me to do, God? And God says, same thing I told you last time, Jonah. Oh, but God, don't you see what I've been through? Yeah, but my mission hadn't changed. Ah, come on, give me my next one, Mike. Give me my next one. The mission hadn't changed, but Jonah had. What's changed? The mission hadn't changed. What do you want me to do, God? I want you to go to Nineveh, Jonah. It hadn't changed. You could have went to Nineveh in a three-piece suit, but now you're going to go with fish guts all over you, with a seaweed weave, and now you got to go up in there and still talk to them about what I already told you to. If you would have just done what I asked you to do in the beginning, we could have circumvented all of this mess, but you had to run from what I had to say to you. Jonah chapter 3 verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, the mission hadn't changed, but Jonah had. The word of God is quick and is powerful and can change any life. Now if a message, come on back, help me shut up. My God, I got one more point. All right. If a message of condemnation preached by an unsympathetic prophet could change a wicked people like the people of Nineveh, it can change anybody. Jonah 3:5 says, so the people of Nineveh believed and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. Talk about a far-reaching, life-changing revival. It touched everybody in that city, even the king. It humbled them. It brought them to repentance. And God relented. He decided to spare them. He decided to spare them for about another 200 more years before Nineveh met its doom. You know why Nineveh met its doom? 200 years later, they had repented. They had come back to God. But 200 years, they lost out with God. You know, I've been serving God a long time. How many in here? Anybody in here been serving God 50 years? All right, we got somebody been serving 50 years. 50 years over there. But you got to keep it going, don't you? You got to. You can't just give up. You can't let up. You can't say, well, you know, I got to just be this old. Now I can retire. No, maybe. There ain't no such thing. You got to keep it fresh. If you don't keep your marriage fresh, guess what? It gets dull. And your partner starts looking, their eye begins to look elsewhere, because you got to keep it fresh. The same thing with your relationship with God. How do I keep it fresh? Well, you start by spending time. My God, I'm preaching. God taught him a lesson. See, what we really want, what old Jonah really wanted, Jonah wanted to go to Nineveh and pronounce judgment. But that ain't what God wanted him to do. God taught him a lesson that all we need to learn, God will do what is right and best in accordance with His holiness and His righteousness. Point number 5 is this, and I got one more. God's love is much greater than our love. How many people, don't point at them, but how many people you wish you could just take out? They got you so mad. My mama used to say, ooh, I want to pinch your head off. I just want to pinch your head off. Anybody else's mama used to say that? That's a southern thing. My mama used to say, I just want to pinch your head off. I'm so glad she didn't. Plus, it's a big old head to be trying to pinch off. I mean, I'm telling you, I got some circumference on this bad boy. God's love is greater than ours. There was no tear in Jonah's eye when he told the Nineveh that they were in for destruction. But there was still rebellion in his heart at how loving and forgiving as God was. Here's what he said. Jonah chapter 4 verse 4. Then saith the Lord, why are you angry? Why are you angry? You know what that tells me? That tells me to do the right thing even when I don't want to do it. It tells me to do the right thing when I don't feel like doing it. It tells me to bless even when I want to curse. It tells me to do what's right when I don't want to do what's right. Come on, somebody. You ever get tired of doing what's right? Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, I'm in your living room right now. Pastor, no, I don't get tired of doing what's right. I'm a Christian. Oh, you little liar. You know, I get tired because listen. There are so many people who know me that I don't really know them. And so sometimes I got to be nice everywhere. Even when I'm driving, I got to be nice. People cut me off. I drive a big old Yukon XL. I want to run up their tailpipe. Yeah. Get out of my way. People treat me ugly. I want to tell them off in Jesus' name. Yeah, I know. Y'all pray for me. I had somebody last week tell me, you know, you're much nicer one-on-one. I'm nice. I'm sweet. I'm a lovable guy. But it's not because I always want to be. Come on, somebody. Why was Jonah upset with God's goodness? Because he really wanted to see them destroyed forever and never become a threat to his own nation. God taught him a lesson that we all need to learn. That God's going to do what's right. And God loves you. No matter who you are. No matter what you've done. God wants to forgive you. And he will. Only if you hear his word and repent. He ran to Nineveh and started preaching. He started giving the people of that town the message that God had given him, and it paid off. The entire city of Nineveh came to know Jesus, or came to know God. And it all started because Jonah got vomited out of the mouth of the fish. God spoke to him, and he started doing something completely different than what he did yesterday. Wow. God has a work for us to do, church. God has a work for you to do. Look at your neighbor and say, God has a work for you to do. Quit running. Quit being swallowed up by situations. Today's the day it all needs to change, because today's a brand new day. It doesn't matter that it looks hopeless, but they realize a brand new day is possible. They responded to that realization and God moved mightily. And every saint begins to talk to God. I want you to begin to realize the fact that there's such thing as a brand new day. Stand to your feet with me in this place. For somebody who didn't have much to say, I said a lot and went long. The beauty of a brand new day. We're not stuck in the gloomy days of old. It's the fact that you've been delivered from the trap that you've been stuck in. You don't have to be stuck in depression. You don't have to be stuck in sin. You don't have to be stuck in anxiety. You don't have to be stuck in a situation that has encompassed you. Spirit Life team, come. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus, man, I promise you I'm not going to embarrass you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.